This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, a service of KPP Financial, a fee-only registered investment advisor firm with no hidden fees so they can put their clients' interests first. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Friday, TGIF, March 17th, 2017. It's the Friday edition of Invest Talk. Above average investing for the average investor is what we preach, as you know. And I thank you for being with us. I at least try to answer all of the questions live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time. But of course, if you have a question that we can't get to us live, you can ask, dial the same number, 888-99-CHART, ask the question, record it, and we'll play it on the next show, and we'll answer it then. Try to do that. We try to be diligent in doing that. Today, the market will go through some turbulence in the next 4 years. I just wanted you to know that. It's going to be turbulent. Long-term investors shouldn't stress out, though, really. A new president requires a classic strategy. That's going to be one of our talking points today. I want to get to the other talking point we didn't get to yesterday, and that was the Fed did not get the reaction it wanted when it raised rates this week. What do I mean by that? And small cap or small companies, small capitalization companies versus big capitalization companies, recent relative performance. I want to talk about that in the last 3 months. Have you noticed that there's a big difference in small caps performance and a big cap performance in the last 3 months since the beginning of the year? Well, it has been dramatic. And finally, things a next generation iPhone needs to have. Remember, they're going to come out with our newest and latest generation here by the end of the year, and there's a lot of expectations for that darn phone. And it's, you know, the iPhone is the big breadwinner for Apple. So they really got to get it right every time they come out. And this one is the two-year update. And the last two-year update was a little bit disappointing, so it better have at least these things in it, I think. And it's an article I read, and they were talking about what needs to be in it. And I added one or two of my own. Anyways, 888-99-CHART is our number. I want to spend a couple of minutes talking to you about our newly expanded Invest Talk Insider content on investtalk.com. Now, if you're an Invest Talk Insider already, you may have noticed that there's some changes. There's a new look. And for you, your Invest Talk Insider membership means you can now browse a variety of sources, a very comprehensive selection of in-depth financial news and background articles from the top name sources. Now, if you're there right now, you could see stories like 5 things to know before applying for Social Security, 3 life insurance tips for business owners, the 3 best U.S. car rental companies to use now, hidden value of small cap semiconductor stocks, 3 ways QCDs can lower taxes, the Fed gave itself a safety net. Those are all articles right there, right now. And it constantly rotates. There are many, many more news stories than are just there. You can screen through many of them very fast and find the ones that interest you. It's a pretty rich content situation right now. Pretty happy about it, actually. Now, of course, our insiders appreciate having access to some of our very handy single sheets on various money and investing topics. The latest economic and market forecasts and copies of the past months are there. Also, the watch lists that we talk about, commodity ETF lists, REIT lists, hedging vehicle lists, and many more. And there are chart lessons there too, income investing series, managing a bond portfolio, approaching retirement, fixed income opportunities. These are all one page on topics that we think are important to you. Have a series on real estate. Anyways, and finally, as an insider, you have access to any and all of our wealth webinars. The upside of lower oil prices, there's a number of them there. So I just wanted to bring that attention to your attention. We have a brand new, well, it's not a brand new website, but a new and improved, let's put it that way. I'm ready for any money questions you might have, 888-99-CHART. Let's go to the phones and take the question from our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, this is Chris from Virginia Beach. got a question. From the perspective of a company, how does their stock price, especially if it goes down, affect them? I was trying to think of ways that a company would be affected by that. And one idea I had was that if they wanted to release more shares to raise some capital, if their stock had gone down from $100 to something really, really low, then they wouldn't be able to raise as much capital as they wanted. And second, several of the members are paid with stock options, which means they are, when they cash in some stock, they're not collecting as much money. Are there any other major reasons that a company would really care if their stocks go up or down, or how does that affect them negatively when the stocks go down? Thank you.
Well, you hit on the two major ones, financing. But remember, there's three ways a company can finance itself. It issues shares, it could borrow the money directly, or it could issue bonds. So they can do that. So the stock price going down does affect them, on far as getting getting money that they need to expand or whatever else. The other is, there's a lot of insiders usually, and they would lose value. But there's other consequences too. If a stock goes down too low and the company has an intrinsic value, competitors want to try to buy them. So they won't be a standalone any company anymore. Also, you'll have shareholder revolts, meaning that the management could be fired. It's in everybody's best interest to keep the stock price going higher. So there are other considerations, that being, shareholders will vote out the current management. So their jobs are online. The top management jobs are online. So those are basically, you hit on the two major ones, and the other ones, those are the basic reasons when the stock goes down, why it's a problem. And one other thing, if it's listed on the New York Stock Exchange, they have to keep a share price of $10 per share or higher. And the NASDAQ, it's $5 per share or higher. Or else they can be kicked off the exchange. Now, they won't do it immediately. That might make them do reverse splits to get the stock price up, and that's never a positive thing. Good question. Appreciate it. Let's go to Gene in North Carolina. How you doing, Gene?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, yesterday I think you were answering a caller's question about buying bonds and the term yield to maturity and yield to worst, WORST.
Yes.
Yeah, I my experience has been that the yield to worst, it is a floor to what the value of yield to maturity is, but it deals with bonds that are callable.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the bond is callable, the person who issued the bond can sort of force you to sell the bond and give you back par.
Right. Yeah, we didn't get into callable bonds at all.
the yield to worst is the rate, it's the equivalent rate of what you would receive if at the next call date.
Mm-hmm.
If you were forced to sell it at the earliest possible date and for par, what would your equivalent yield be? That's what yield to worst is. It doesn't deal with the quality of the bond.
Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you, Virginia.
Thanks
for the explanation.
Okay,
yeah, does everybody know what callable bond means? Some bonds are callable, meaning that the issuer can call them back and give back your money. Okay, after a certain date. Usually there is a date, after 2 years or a year or 3 years that you've owned the bond. So you got to be careful. As I said yesterday, bonds can get very complex. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Any money questions is welcome, especially beginner questions. 888-99-CHARTER is our live listener line number every weekday, 24 hours a day, and we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-99-CHARTER. We're going to talk to Keith in San Diego. How you doing, Keith?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. I appreciate the call. And I say that every time, but sincerely, I do appreciate everybody's call, so I do appreciate your call as well. So thank you.
You're most welcome. Thank you for taking it. I have a question about Rite Aid. I've read articles where they're in the process of being purchased by Walgreens, and from what I read, the purchase price would be about $7 per share. if that goes through. And right now they're at 4.85 or so. Mm-hmm. Wondering if you think that would be a smart move to buy, because it seems like it would. If the purchase goes through, you're automatically have some upside there.
Well, I actually think it would. I actually think it does, because why is it trading so much lower than the offering price from Walgreens? Why is it trading at that price? Why? The reason why is because everybody was worried that the FTC was not going to approve the deal. They were going to say no. But now there's kind of been some hints out there that the deal was go through. So do you, was it Walgreens who's buying it? Is it Walgreens, right?
Correct, Walgreens, yeah.
You know, if the offering price is $7 and it's $4.87 today, you get that upside potential. Now, this is the drawbacks, Keith. What if it takes another year before the deal goes through? Then you have kind of dead money sitting in Rite Aid, because it's probably not going to go up much until the deal goes through. That's one of the downsides. What if the deal does not go through? Of course, then that's going to hurt the Rite Aid stock. It's probably going to go down. But the chances are probably getting better that it will actually go through. And if it does, you make what? 20% gain? Well, I don't know. Whatever that gain is between 47 and $7 is.
About almost 50, be about 40%, I believe.
Is it? I haven't looked at it. Is it $7 even?
Correct. Yeah, and that's on the low side. It could be higher, but that's.
Was it an all cash deal? Because I haven't paid attention to it. So.
I did not see that much about it.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's, you know, I think it's a good shot. I think it's worth the effort. Just don't go crazy. And, don't put all your money in it. Okay, thanks,
yeah,
Keith. Appreciate the call. RAD is the symbol of Rite Aid, everybody. RAD. A new president requires a classic strategy. That's one of our talking points today. We're going to talk about what that means. Also, we got a number of things we're going to discuss before the end of the day. The market was kind of flat to down today. The Dow was down 19. The Nasdaq up 1. And the S&P down 3. So the market has been kind of struggling, mostly sideways. Had one really good up day this week, but the rest were kind of down, and we've been kind of struggling here to make new highs. Maybe it's just consolidating. How about that? You can use that term. You can say it's consolidating to make the next run up, or consolidating to make the next run down. You know, I wish there was a crystal ball. There's no way to know. There's no way to know. What you can do is you can buy good, solid companies that are growing. That you can do. That try not to overpay for them. You can do that. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. I'm glad you're here with me today. Get in touch. 888-99-CHART is my live listener line number, 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Mac. How you doing, Mac?
Very good, Steve. Calling about TSX, Phillips 66.
TS as in Sam, X as in X-ray?
Correct. P as in Paul.
Oh, okay. P
Sam, X-ray.
Okay. P, not T. There he goes. Phillips 66. Okay. About a $41 billion company, so it's pretty big. Growth of revenue is pretty decent at 7%. Let's see, well, it's a kind of, it might be a little bit expensive. Let's see, take a look at the chart. Let me go back and look at that chart. Okay, no. Do you own it right now?
Yes, I do. I bought it. I bought it because Warren Buffett took a big stake in it.
Yeah, I remember.
And it's just been kind of like dead money. You're getting the dividend, but in the past year, the price I got in is about 9 months ago. And I was kind of looking at it and kind of having second thoughts about it. But
well,
what's the... What's the average PE?
Well,
or
the
range.
Well, it's at the high end of that range. The average PE, you know, the 5-year average, it runs from about 18 to about 28, 29. It's at around 27 now, it looks like.
But the earnings I was looking at, it looks like the earnings they're projecting in 2018, I think. I can't remember. I thought that would lower that would make the PE more down towards below the range.
Yeah, it'll drop it down, which is it's a good solid company. You can't argue about that, and it pays a nice dividend. You know, at 3.16 or so, 3%, a little over 3% dividend. It's got a good debt to equity ratio. There's return on equity is not huge, but you wouldn't expect it to be. I think it's a solid company. I think it would do well. And I think that at this point, you don't want to sell at this point because it's gone down. My concern is oil prices could fall further and it would put downward pressure on it. But this has fallen from like $87, $88 down to $77, and now it's at $79.94. I wouldn't sell at this point. I would hold on to it because I think it's got some pretty good upside potential.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your help, and enjoy
Max.
The show.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Mac. Appreciate the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Time to give. Let's talk about our main talking point today was about the new president calls for classic strategy. What does that mean? What does a classic strategy mean? Well, it's really going back to basics. We know what's happening with Trump. We know what he's promising, and lower taxes and less red tape. And we know that the market has run up, based on these promises. But and everybody's getting a little bit worried that the market has been so strong. You need to just calm down, take a deep breath, and go back to the basics. What stocks do you want to buy? If you want to buy a stock, you look at the fundamentals. You look at to see if it has good growth prospects. You compare it with those fundamentals with other companies in the same sector. You look at those fundamentals compared to its value of that stock in the past. What's the relative PE ratio, the price to sales ratio? What's all those fundamentals of that company? Are they growing? Will they grow better or worse in an expanding or shrinking economy? Go back to the fundamentals. Stop worrying so much about what's going to happen, and because you can never time the market. You can never know this is the time to get out because I'll get back in when it's cheaper. You don't know that. You do not know that. I do not know that. Now, that doesn't mean you don't produce a little cash when you think the market's overvalued, but it doesn't mean you abandon the market when you think this market's overvalued. That makes no sense. And it's really difficult to know when to get back in, even if you're right. Let's say you're right. Let's say I'm not buying ABC stock because it's overvalued and the market's overvalued. I'm going to wait. I'll buy ABC stock when it gets lower. Okay, so now the market starts to correct. Okay, market goes down 10%. ABC company goes down with it. Now, when the market's going down, you are thinking, well, how far is down? How far is it going to go down? Now, let's say the market starts to pick up again. It goes up 3%. I lost 10, now back up 3. Then it goes back down 3. Did you buy the stock? When would you buy? Would you wait till it goes back up 10%? Well, that's where you could have bought in the first place. If you waited that long, it's very, very, remember, think about your emotions and you're looking at the stock and it's falling. Oh, now it's going up. But, when do I buy this? This is the problem. You cannot time the market. It just does not work. Does that mean you don't use hedges? No, but if you're an individual investor and you're not really attuned to the market, it's very difficult. We're at the halfway mark of this Friday afternoon Invest Talk. We're counting down to our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. That's next weekend in San Jose, March 25th. You can sign up at investtalk.com. Right now, let's hear your money question. 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. After this minute for KPP Financial, managing your money is more than just investing, picking stocks and funds. Our money lives are bigger than that, so KPP Financial offers their clients help in answering all of life's money questions. They can help with a broad range of money topics, not just your investments, taxes, real estate. So when you're looking for answers, the staff at KPP Financial is there for you and very diligent about answering their emails and returning their calls. KPP Financial, serving the average investor, helping them find solutions for more than 20 years. To find out more about their investing programs, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab. Now more of our podcast. This is Invest Talk, and next time, over-investing in your 401k can lead to a taxing retirement. It's one of the biggest mistakes investors make. Can you save too much in your 401k? That's one of our topics next time on Invest Talk.
Yeah, this is Saeed from Illinois. What do you think about Valiant Pharma? Is it a good time to buy? Thank you. Bye.
Okay, Valiant Pharmaceuticals, VRX is the symbol. They've had a lot of problems lately, last year, 2 years, and they got beat up heavily. I mean, so the question is it a good stock that you really should be buying? Should you own it? Well, you know, it's still in a downtrend. I would not buy this stock until that trend stops. It's gone from $36, $37 a year ago down to $11. And everybody's looking to see, well, eventually it's going to stop. So is this a good place to buy it? Well, it's always difficult to pick the bottom. So I always say wait for it to put in the bottom, wait for it to start back up and put in an uptrend, at least starting an uptrend. You've got to have some kind of basis to say, okay, this is where it's going to end, and we don't have that yet. From a price to book ratio, price earnings ratio, okay, maybe it's at a good place. But recently profits have just not been there. The earnings are not going to be there next year. I would not buy this stock, VRX, because there's Valiant Pharmaceuticals. There's too many others that are better than this. And I can't say it's cheap, because I'm not sure how profitable it's going to be coming up. I mean, doesn't look that strong to me. Okay, it just does not. 888-99-CHARGE is our number, 888-992-4278. The Fed did not get the reaction that I think it wanted from raising interest rates. Remember, they raised the rates a quarter point this week to 1%. Okay, and the market rallied. Now, Goldman Sachs chief economist feels, if you notice that when the market rallied, the dollar weakened. Treasury yields slumped. And the market reaction actually eased financial conditions, not tightened them. Remember, raising the rates is a tightening action by the Fed. You know what this means? That means more rates are ahead. They're going to raise rates and more. They promised to raise rates in 2015 several times during the year. They promised to do that in 2016 several times during the year. And each of those 2 years, they only increased them once in December. So that instead of the several times they were talking about. Now they've talked about they're going to raise them 3 times this year. At the very beginning of the year, they said they were going to do that. Or they even at the end of December, when they raised them last year in December, just not that long ago, they said they're going to raise rates multiple times this year. And even after this week's announcement, the hint was they're going to raise the rates several more times. Now, can you believe them? Because they said that before, in 2015, 2016. Well, I'm actually believing them. I think they will this year. It will depend, and it depends on what the economic numbers look like. But, I think that they are looking at a economy that's starting to pick up a little bit better than it was last year. They're looking at inflation that looks like it's starting to increase a little bit. So it gives them a little bit more comfort in raising rates. And they, if they look at the president who says he's going to reduce taxes and he's going to reduce red tape, that's all very stimulus for the economy. So they don't have to be as accommodating, they mean the Fed. So yeah, I think they're going to raise it a couple times. And yeah, I don't think they got the reaction they wanted when they raised it this week. They would have preferred anyways. I don't know if they had a plan in place for the reaction they wanted, but they would have preferred it to be a tightening situation, but it didn't. But remember, it's only gone up a quarter point to 1%, and that's the target. That 1% is really, really low. And this is the interest rate, the Federal Reserve benchmark rate to banks. This is what they loan money to banks at. And the banks borrow the money, and then they loan it to us. It's still very low. You know what the average is? Long-term average is 3%. Let me put that a different way. The long-term average is 300% higher than what it is today. That's what the long-term average is. And so they got a long ways to get there if that's what they wanted to do. If that's what they wanted. Remember, they want to be there. They want to be at that 3% so that when the next recession hits, they can lower interest rates to stimulate the economy. Because lower interest rates stimulates the economy. That's why it's been so low. We've been trying to stimulate the economy. The world has been trying to stimulate after the financial crisis in 2008. That's what they're trying to do. Again, our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference is coming up on the 25th, March 25th in San Jose. This is a chance to peek under the hood of a registered investment advisor firm. That would be ours. This time we'll be focused on learning the professional approach to accurate research, fact-based analysts, and winning strategies. And I got a couple of emails saying this is too complex for them. We're not going to start off complex. We're going to try to show you where you can do some of the research for yourself and where it is on the internet, what's websites you could use, things like that. So it's not going to be all, very complex stuff. It's got to be, we always present it. Remember, it's a teaching conference, trying to teach people how to do this if they want to learn how to do it. Okay, so if you're not the hands-on type, but you have money under management or you're doing the best you can on your own, it's a pretty good way to increase your knowledge coming to our conference here. Again, Saturday morning, March 25th at the San Jose Hyatt House, 9 to noon. You can register online at investtalk.com.
What's in it for insiders? Become an InvestTalk insider and find out. Insiders will see a brand new look now. Now a comprehensive display of the latest news and information is available in one place. Wide-ranging topics, reports, how-to articles, and opinions all in one place. It's free, never a charge for any of the useful content. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, and then InvestTalk Insider.
99 chart, small caps versus big caps. Have you noticed the recent relative performance in the last 3 months between those two? If you haven't, you should have. We're going to talk about that in very shortly. I think it's going to be important that you understand what's going on there. And does it really matter? Is it really impactful? Do we need to worry about it? First, let's go to Robbie in Santa Clara. How you doing, Robbie?
Hi, Steve. I'm good. Hope you're doing good.
So I am.
This
thank
is
you.
Regarding the stock Chevron. Do you think there's a right price to enter here?
Well, I like Chevron. We do own that in a couple of our managed accounts. Let's take a look here. I've always liked Chevron for some time. And is this a good place to buy it? That's your question. Let's take a look at this. I'm punching in different time frames for charts to give me an idea. I would much prefer, just so you know, Robbie, I would much prefer to buy this about $102, $103 a share. It's right now $107. So it's not that far away from where I think you would want to buy it. It got up to about 117 or so. Now it's been falling now down to 107, and mostly because oil prices fell. Now, all the numbers look pretty strong. Pays a 4.0 dividend, and it's not going to cut that. So I'm thinking you could, Robbie, I would think that you could put a half a position on here, and then if it falls down to the low 100s, I mean like 102 or so, 103, buy the other half. Because you can't go wrong long term with Chevron.
Okay,
Rob?
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Okay, so the relative performance, small cap versus big cap. I'm talking about recent performance. In the last 3 months, the S&P has outperformed the Russell 2000. The S&P 500 is big, the top five, biggest 500 companies on the exchange. And the Russell 2000 is all small cap. It's a small cap index. So it's a large index, large cap index versus a small cap. S&P 500 versus the Russell 2000. Well, the S&P 500 has gone up in the last 3 months 6.4%. And the Russell 2000 is up 1.3%. So the small caps have done poorly in relationship to the S&P 500. And usually the small caps normally lead the market. They don't trail the market, but they lead the market. Now, so the question is when they do trail the market, does the overall, the big caps follow suit and start underperforming? Does the small caps underperformance eventually turn the big caps down? And they've studied this, and so far they've seen no correlation. So just because the small caps outperform, the large caps outperform the small cap, just because of that doesn't mean that they'll fall and start to underperform, at least within 3 months to 1 year after that outperformance is observed. I don't even know if you noticed it, but the Russell 2000 at one point this week was down for the year before it bounced up a little bit on that big up day. Down for the year. So if you have a lot of small cap stocks, you're probably doing pretty poorly this year and you're missing the boat. That's why a good diversified portfolio is best. Okay, that way you'll at least get some of the boat. Maybe not all of it, but some of it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. We're going to talk about the things the next generation iPhone needs to have. Remember, that's coming out, I think, at the end of the year this year. And what are the things that are expected from that iPhone? First, we'll talk to Ryan in Fremont. How are you doing, Ryan?
Hey, Steve, doing good. Hey, I got a question. Can I buy and sell real estate within my IRA account? Right now, I'm primarily stocks.
Okay. The answer is yes, but there's a big caveat. You can't just go out and buy stocks from your current IRA. You have to set up a special kind of IRA first. It's still an IRA. And you have to hire a firm, because when you buy real estate, you have to have arm's length deals, because it's you and it's your money. You're going to have a special contract between you and yourself, or your IRA and you. It's not as simple as, well, I'm going to just take some of the money out, put a down payment on this rental property, and then all the rent I get, I'll put it in the IRA, and there you go, I'm done. Well, conceptually, it is that easy, but it is not that easy. There's certain legal requirements, the hoops that you have to jump through. And a lot of people don't like it. It's more trouble than it's worth for a lot of people. But the answer
now, is it something where you'd have to buy the property outright through your IRA, or can you?
Nope, you can finance it. You can do everything. You got to finance it. You got to put a down payment. But you got to have a contract with yourself. So you need like a CPA to help you with this. Okay? And there are firms out there that do it.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
Thanks Ryan. Appreciate it. I don't I have never gotten into that myself, but I had a client who just recently did that a few months ago. He opened up another IRA, moved money out of his current IRA into the other one, and there he's buying real estate from it. So it's doable. You can do it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Again, the market was kind of flat again today. Well, you know, because remember yesterday it was down 16. The Dow was down 16. Today it was down 19. Yesterday the NASDAQ was up 1. Today it was up 1. Yesterday the S&P was down 4. Today it was down 3. Pretty exciting stuff, huh? Yeah, pretty boring. Okay, so what are those things in the new iPhone that the new iPhone has to have, or there's a lot of expectations it better have if they want to stay on the cutting edge? Well, here, I got a list of a number of them, things that need to be improved. One, edge-to-edge screen. An edge-to-edge screen, which from all the evidence we see out there, that is going to happen. Two, a bigger battery or longer battery life. Three, fast charging or wireless charging and or wireless charging. A better camera. More storage capability. More options on that storage capability too. A stronger shatterproof screen. All these are expected. And a couple that are key in my mind is an augment, a alternate reality kind of functionality for the phone. You know how you've seen on maybe on TV where the Samsung, and they put it in like the VR glasses and a big mask over your head with the phone inserted, that kind of thing. It's got to have that kind of function. And finally, how about iScan security? That's the one I kind of squeezed in myself. I think that would be something that would be very good as far as a functionality of the new iPhone. That put them ahead of a lot of people. Better security on the phone. And maybe eye scanning. Doesn't that sound like a neat little thing? Anyways, that's my opinion. And that's the opinion of a lot of people. So I'm not alone on this. You're listening to Invest Talk. Our last segment of the hour is coming up. But we still can fit you in with your question. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin, I called the other day about TWI. So I just wanted to find out what you thought of that company and if you thought it was bouncing off support around 10 currently. Just thinking about picking up some. Thanks. Bye.
You are correct. That's about where support is, around $10 a share. TWI, it's called Titan International. It manufactures off-highway wheels, tires, and assembly products for agricultural, earth-moving, construction, consumer markets. Okay? It's a $572 million company, so it's a very small cap company. Small. Not, I wouldn't say very. It's just a small cap company. They haven't made money in the last 4 or 5 years. They're not going to make money this year. They're going to lose 9 cents a share. But next year, they are scheduled to make 41 cents a share. It's a $10 stock. The stock has moved from $5 a year ago to almost $14. And recently, in the last month or so, has fallen down to $10.59 is what it is today. So that's where you are. And this is support. But my personal feeling is I'm not sure if it's done falling. I'd like to see it get stronger before you actually decide to buy it. Because the I can tell you the insiders bought it heavily when it was around $3 and $4 three years ago. Since then, there's been no insiders buying. So, when they were buying it at that price, you know, they've made a fortune on the stocks that they own. And management owns 19% of this company. So they probably have some pretty good faith in it. But I think you might be able to get this a little cheaper. But there is support at 10. So, we could, maybe you should buy half. I always tell people that, if we're unsure if this is the price that's a good enough price, then buy half if you still want to get in it. If you're that, concerned. Because, it could go up from here, and then we missed it. Oh, well. But, see, I also am a true believer that there's always another opportunity around the corner. You don't have to worry about it if and immediately like this. TWI, Titan International. Time for InvestTalk 101. How about annuities? You know, I'm not a big annuity. You hear more and more about annuities than just about any other financial products because insurance companies make so much money on them. They love them. Now, should you have it in the IRA? You should never have it in a tax-deferred instrument, a tax-deferred account, because it's already a tax-deferred instrument. Annuities is offered by insurance companies. They agree to a periodic payments for a given period of time. Many times there's a life insurance attached. You can have a fixed annuity. You could have a variable annuity. You can annuitize the money. If you do annuitize the money, that's when you actually are giving the money to the insurance company. It's theirs. And once you give it to them, they promise to pay you a certain amount per month for until you die or you and your wife die. And they'll, you know, it's a contract. Remember, this is a legal contract between you and the insurance company. You got to be careful. Some of the pros and cons. It provides tax-deferred growth of earnings. No annual contribution limit. You don't have to. It does will give you a steady income. Those are the big high, you know, selling points. But they're notoriously high expenses. The surrender charges are horrendous. Because if once you get in it, you're stuck. Early withdrawal penalties are heavy. Payments may be taxed as ordinary income. And so there's I don't care for them. I don't care for them. But maybe I'm prejudiced too. I admit my prejudice. I used to work for insurance companies in New York. I did for 9 years. I was there when I first got out of college, graduated from California College, moved to New York with my first real job. I was there for 9 years working for insurance companies and got very familiar with it. Annuities are very good for the salesman and very good for the insurance company. Not the best for you. I'm not saying they're terrible. I just would not consider one. I would not. Man, make sure on annuity you read the fine print and understand what you're reading. Understand it. That's InvestTalk 101, everybody. If you want to know more about this kind of thing, don't talk to an insurance person. Talk to somebody else. Our time is up for this hour. If you'd like to contact me directly with a personal message, just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. On behalf of Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, I want to thank you for being with us. And let's plan on getting together on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.